dire ti che per te. I'm a kind of you. You had the opportunity to spend 4 weeks with Rav Leibowitz, and I'm sure you learned something from him. Rather than tell you Dvar Torah, I'd like to tell you something that maybe you can use and will come in handy. So, just for no special random reason, I'd like to share with you an experience I had. I was about, I must have been maybe 19, 20 years old, and I was davening for the Yomid in Tar Vadas. I was davening Milcha for the Yomid. And after I finished, as I was walking back to my seat, Rav Palm stopped me. He said to me that any word with two segals is malel. Tzedek, melech, all these words are chesed, amalel. And when I daven for the Yomid, I pronounced it with the accent at the end of the word, melech, or tzedek, or chesed. So you see, he told me it grates on everybody's ears. That was his language, he said. And you should pronounce it, melel, the way it's supposed to be. So I was very taken aback. I'm sure the halachi told me is right, whether it grates on everybody's ears, I wasn't exactly convinced. Especially when you're a teenager, you're down for the yomid, you're very self-conscious of the people listening. So at the moment, I was very taken aback. And after a little bit of time, I went back to my Rebbe. And I said to him, well, if I made that mistake, I probably made a few more mistakes too. He said, well, as a matter of fact, you did. And from then on, I tried to pick up a little bit of dikduk here and there, wherever I could. And I realized that everybody knows so little that if you know just a bit, people think you're some sort of an expert in dikduk. So I'd like to share with you just three Malayal Malara rules, which hopefully will whet your appetite a little bit for pronunciation. Each one, I think I have a good, there's a simon on how to remember it. The first is what he had told me, that a word with two segals, Malra means the accent is on the last syllable. Malayal, people say it means the accent is on the beginning of the word, and not really true. It means it's next to the last syllable. If it's a two-syllable word, it's on the beginning of the word. So it's interesting that words that have two segals are often mispronounced. The way Rav Palm told me to remember it, because I always remember that I mispronounced two segals, but I sometimes forget which way is the mispronunciation and which way is the correct one. So he told me to remember it. He told me, sheker is emes, and emes is sheker. What do you mean by that? For some reason, the word sheker, everyone pronounces right. No one says sheker. You know, the melech, some people say melech. But sheker, he said, sheker is emes. People pronounce sheker correctly. But emes is sheker. The word emes does not have a segel under the aleph. It's a chat of segel. It's really a shavah. And everyone says emes when the word is really emes, with the accent at the end of the word. So he told me to remember sheker is emes, sheker is emes, and emes is sheker. That was his way to remember it. And so that's rule number one of Malayal Malra. The second interesting Malayal Malra is a tshuva in the night of Yehuda. Nabi Yehuda was asked if the pronunciation of God's name is Malayal or Malra. Is it the accent on Adoy or is the accent on Noi? Where's the accent, on the beginning or in the end? So it's a very interesting truth, because the Neid Behuda writes, you're asking me about Digduk? He says, Binyane Digduk Ein Liyad V'Shem. He says, I have no shaykhis to Digduk. He says, Ahodover Poshet Kazeh. He says, such a simple thing. I'll explain it to you. And he explains that the Shem Hashem is Malra. The accent is on the Noi. And again, he has a nice phrase, a catchphrase to help you remember it. He says, "Kala oimrei mala'el, hu atzmoi mala'ra." So if you pronounce it mala'el, you're mala'ra. Play on the word mala'ra, that you're ra, that you're doing the bad thing. So he says, "Kala oimrei mala'el, hu atzmoi mala'ra." That's his simon of remembering it. So the Shem Hashem is a second one. There was an incident, there was an exchange between Ben-Gurion and the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav had the closeness with Ben-Gurion in the years of the establishment of the state. And he said that once Ben-Gurion told him, "Eima lidog, yesh lanu bitachon." He said, "There's nothing to worry about, we have security. Yesh lanu bitachon." So the Panovich Rav said, "Lo, yesh lanu bitachon." The way Hamish Yidden says, "Yesh lanu bitachon." So Ben Gurion told him, "Bitachon, bitachon, ota davar, it's the same thing." He said, "Lo." He said, "Bitachon mila'el, bitachon mila'ra." No play on words. Bitachon is from upstairs, and this is play on it. But at any rate, this is the second, second Igdut rule. The third, which is by far and away the most important of the three, is that in most words, Malel Marat doesn't change the meaning of the word. And if you say it wrong, maybe it grates on people's ears, but it doesn't, it's not Ma'akev. There are a handful of words where Malel Marat change the meaning of the word. And the most significant are a few words that appear in Kriya Shema. I think everybody knows from the time you learn Chumash, the word amarta means amarta, you said, right? Amarta means you said. Ahavta means you loved. It's past tense. In Kriya Shema, when you say v'ahavta es Hashem alakecha, you're saying, and you loved Hashem your God. If you think for a second, that's not what it means. You say Shema, you're saying, it means you're commanded to love. It means, and you're commanded to say. It's future, it's not past. Yet we all know amarta is past tense. And the answer is that there's something in Digda called the vav hamahapech, a vav that changes a word from past tense to future tense. And the vav, v'ahavta, there's no reason there needs to be a vav. There's no and at the beginning of a sentence. It could have started, ahavta, says Hashem alakecha, love Hashem your God. The vav is the vav hamahapech. It changes it from past tense to future tense. Now, the way, what it does, when it changes it from past tense to future tense, it changes it from milel to morah. Ahavta is milel, and it's past. Ahavta, v'ahavta, is future tense. And it changes the meaning. It's one of the few words where it changes the meaning, and that binyan appears five times in Kriya Shema, where it seems that most of Klal Yisrael, at least technically, are not yet to Kriya Shema, because most people say V'ahavta es Hashem alakecha, and that means past tense. It changes the meaning. It's V'ahavta. It's V'ahavta V'dibarta in the first paragraph of Kriya Shema. Via Safta and via Chalta in the second, and via Marta in the third parak of Kriya Shema, third parasha of Kriya Shema. So those five words, the Malel Marah, seem to change the meaning, and a person should say it correctly. There's one other such word, Nosati, is past tense, and Nosati is future. It's the same rule. If you'll have this, you might just forget about this, but if you remember it, the next time you say Kriya Shema, it should probably be this evening, and you remember again tomorrow, you remember a handful of times, so you'll already get in the habit of saying it right. You'll be able to daydream and say it right also. But you got it for a few times, just get it correct. And these words change the meaning. And I don't know, a number of years ago, I asked Rebelsky if we could say the most of Klal Yisrael is not yet to Kriya Shema. he told, oh, when I was your age, I asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, as most of Klai Yisrael, not Yitzchak Krishma. So Rabbi Yaakov has some teretz on why it could not be Ma'akev. But Pashtus it is, and it's something to be aware of. So here are three Malayal Maraz, okay? You have the Sheker is Emes, Emes is Sheker rule. The Shem Hashem, Kol Ha'imri Malayal Hu Asmei Malara. And the Kriya Shema, I guess, the most important. Yom Artov, Dibar Tov, Yochal Tov, Yosaf Tov, Yom Artov, Evan Osati, that have to be pronounced correctly. Someone came to Rav Moshe and was carrying on about how yeshiva boys don't know dikduk. And it was carrying on. I had the discuss of being by Rav Moshe when people came and were ranting in front of him. He had the unique ability to just be quiet and let the person keep on ranting until he ran out of steam. And this person was carrying on about yeshiva boys not knowing dikduk and how awful it sounds. And finally the person quieted down. So Rav Moshe told him, you're right. But it's not dikduk, it's dikduk. So I don't know, it's very Rav Moshe, someone was screaming, your son-in-law paskened, I'm a shaita. And I'm not. Rav Moshe had walked into shir. I attended Rav Moshe's shir. I was walking in all the way to shir. And this man sprung up and was screaming that it's just the weirdest thing to hear. He said, your son-in-law paskened, I'm a shaita, and I'm not a shaita. And he was proving the son-in-law's psak correct. And Rav Moshe just stared him down, just let him carry on. And he just ran out of steam eventually and ran out of his midrash. That itself is a good midah to know. But anyway, these are, I guess, three rules. I have a feeling if I told you a word on the parasha, you might have not remembered it a few years from now. But V'yomar Tov, if you do it right, you'll remember it for a while. So I guess that's what I, at least in the spur of the moment, what I chose to share with you. And okay.
Does Rashi recommend saying Kriya Shema with the trap? That way you save.
It's funny, I went through that stage when I was younger, I said it with the trap. And then, I don't know, I didn't want to say it out loud different than everybody else. I didn't want to say it quietly, so I sort of stopped. The Mishavura says it's a hitter to say it with the trap. Logic to say it with the trap. It's certainly a hitter.
For kids, it's very hard for them to hear the difference between the lav and the rad. The trap, they can chap sometimes. A 12-year-old.
It's true. But if they can train Malel Marad, they'll know for the rest of the evening also. I tell people, every siddur has marked off the Malel Maraz in it. Every siddur, or just about every siddur, most words in Hebrew are Marad, have the accent at the end of the word. By the Malels, there's a little mark in the siddur, and you've never noticed it, you've been able to do it all your lives. You'll see, whatever it's Malel, you look at Melech, and you'll see there's a little mark under the mem that indicates that it's Malel. All the Siddurim have it. It's funny, I happen to notice one of the Chassidish Siddurim that doesn't have it. Chassidim are not so much, but on Dikduk. But every standard Siddur has it marked off, and very few people are aware of it. Okay. Something to notice. To know Dikduk, you don't have to sit down and learn it. You just have to, every once in a while, when you hear something, just pick up on it or focus on it. I once told my grandson when he was about 7 years old that the word, the Shorash Shin Lamed Ches, to send, I think it appears in every single parashah in the Torah. I noticed it over the years. When the Lamed has a Dogesh in it, it's a one-way trip. Shaleh to Shalach Esaim, there's a Dogesh in the Lamed. It's a one-way trip. And whenever it's a two-way trip, there's no Dogesh in the Lamed. Whenever you're sending, you send Meraglim, it says, Shalach Lecha, there's no Dogesh. It's called Binyan Kal and Binyan Kaved. And I had him notice it when he was little, and I told him a few such things, and as he's my oldest grandson, as he's growing up, so he's more in tune to picking up the dikduk things here and there. And you're just in tune to it. You can slowly pick up different points. So this is my contribution to your education for this year.
Rosh Hashiva said he was in Rav Moshe's shir. Could Rosh Hashiva describe what Rav Moshe's shir was like?
Okay, so it's hard to say in his shir in the normal context of a yeshiva. Rav Moshe in his later years said shir on Fridays an hour before mincha. So in the winter it was 11:40, I guess, till 12:40, and in the when we're in daylight savings time, it was from 12:40 to 1:40, set shir for an hour. And I attended. I was in Yeshiva Torah Das at the time, but I went with somebody else. We drove down to the Lower East Side, and I attended his shir the last year and a half that he gave shir before he had the heart condition. He stopped. At that time, there was no class in Tiferes Yerushalayim for him. The Tiferes Yerushalayim at that point was just younger children. But probably about 35 people came. In the biography of Rav Moshe, is actually a picture of him giving shir, and I'm smack in the middle, but you'd never recognize me. A very plaid jacket. I wouldn't tell my grandchildren that was me. But it's... But what it was like, it really was a tremendous kavod for Rav Moshe, because the pieces were the Dibros Moshe. So he gave, every shir was 2 weeks. He gave it Marim Makomos. The first week, I enjoyed very much. He went from kasha to kasha. The whole first week was kashas. Sometimes, at the end, he set a yisayid. Next week, he set a yisayid. Usually, two ways to learn something, or three ways. He said, this region was the hills like this one, that one. And then he went through the whole thing again. By that point, it was very hard to keep up, at least for me. I was learning that mesechta. I prepared all that morning. It was a little difficult to keep up. But I was there for the Ramesha of it. There's always something going on. Whenever you walked in, you got photostats of the most common... You know what photostat means? Okay, photostats of the most common... we used to call it Xerox. Of the most recent tshuvas that he had written. And it was always Lebedik. And the first year I remember some of the questions on the aside, how he came back to answering it. And repeat. And he gave Anya Schneichlin, and then he gave Angit. So, but it was, Ramesha was a king compared to Dailam, but he was very unique. And he was, not to describe a person, but he was totally focused every second of the day. He was, you got the impression, you know, he never relaxed. And I was a Lower East Sider. My mother grew up in the Lower East Side. My grandparents lived there. So I was able to go to her mother's house. I davened there. I used to go for Shabbos. I once saw him eating an apple, and it struck me that Rav Moshe eats. Such a love of him. The way he ate apple on Shabbos, he didn't enjoy it. It didn't look like he enjoyed it. He had all his chumras about bit the two ends. They didn't cut off the psilus. And... then he bit the middle, and it was all avaita. Okay. I remember Rabbi Isaac Tendler was his mechutin, Rav Tendler's father, and he used to daven in the house also. He was blind at that stage of his life. Rav Moshe once invited me to stay for Kiddush, and he and Rav Tendler were trading Kfarat Luchan de Parsha. I remember thinking, I don't have to write this down, I'll never forget it. But I forgot it. I remember Parshas Vayeshev, but I forget everything. But it was supposed to be just to be there.
Do you have advice for thinking in Torah? Like, can you go about your day?
So everybody is different. I think it has to be in a relaxed way. I used to try to. Once on a Friday, Rav Palm said in the Shmuz a nice Rambam, the Shagasari's Kasha and around Bam Noidim, the Steritz, and the Michelson is Kasha, like it was a nice chain. So I figured it's a nice thing to think about all the time. So sometimes I think about it. But I don't know, everybody's different. I find thinking about Shilas to interest me more. You know, some people, Ruvain said when he was a child, Rav Moshe taught him to know Mishnayos Baal Peh, so he could say it in the street. I find it a little hard. The Perek is El Mekayman, I say in the street when I walk. So I shul don't have it. I say when I walk to shul, I say it. So he said, one Perek Mishnayos and no Baal Peh. But I would recommend, if you don't say, maybe all of you say Karbanis, but if you don't, I'd recommend just start learning the Mishnah of the Ayla. The Ayla, that Mishnah is the shortest of all the Mishnahs of Vezah and Mekayman. Ayla Kaish Dashin, if Dashin Safin, the people of Dhamma Kaish Bat Safin, the Dhamma Taj, same Taj Shain Arba, and two Bahav Shaitim, and two of the Cholish. Just memorize that. Try to say it every day. You'll know it, you'll say it your way to Shul. Slowly, you'll learn the Asham already about that. It'll sort of, like the Yetzirah deals with a person, Hayyim Amalei, say Kach, Lamacha, Kach, and gets him to go downhill. So you work the other way. I was the shortest Mishnah, learned that Baal Peh. Maybe say it on the way to shul. And try to say Kabbalah's on the way to shul. On the way down the steps, you have to share a mimcha. I say Kabbalah's for mimcha. It's just an easier thing to do. The question indicates a certain madrega, so it's wonderful. When life gets busy, you should remember that when you were this age, you were focusing on that. Yeah.
What are some of the values that Rosh Hashiva picked up from Rav Pam?
The value I envy is Menuchas HaNefesh. Rav Pam sat down to learn, everything else he put in his back pocket and focused on his learning. I still work very hard on it. I have a lot of Bahola, all the different things I'm involved in. And if you sit down and focus, you're good. I mean, when I learn focused, it moves quickly and it goes easily. And when I have 100 things on my head, it's very hard. It's the trait. It was very disciplined. His mind was, besides his actions, but his thinking is very disciplined. Things were going on, he was able to focus totally. That's the beat I still try to work on.
In camp, we have an opportunity to learn Torah, but also be in mashpia on kids in camp and stuff like that. How should we balance our own Torah learning and be able to...
Sometimes you have a job that has a responsibility, and if you take responsibility, you have to live with it and live up to it. Ramesha encouraged Bnei Torah to do 90-10, to do 10% nicer time for others, and the rest of the time focus on their own learning. So at this point, at this stage in life, you have to grow in your own learning.
How do you balance? You call me?
Yeah.
How the Rosh Hashiva balance going to other people's, other bands' optional share versus going on your own?
So the loylam yomer adam b'makim sheli b'chafe. It's a really person. A person really has to focus on what works for him. You just have to not fool yourself that whatever you're choosing shouldn't come from laziness. That's all. But obviously, there's a certain amount you gain here, a certain amount you gain there. It's like everything else in learning. It's a certain balance. I regret I didn't go to more opportunities to go to Shurim. I could have gone to. I rather went once to Rav Soloveitchik's Yahrzeit Shir. And I still remember what it was about. I still have my little notes that I wrote at the time. And I was just impressed by the whole Maimed and this list to hear him. Maybe I should have gone more often. I don't know. They were great people and... could have learned more from them. Yes.
Does the Rosh Yeshiva have any advice for how to learn later Nevi'im that are, it's not much of a story anymore, it's more Nevuos and Kesuvim?
It's very, very hard. Learning Nach has to be a side thing. It can't be a main focus. Very, very difficult. You should learn Nevi'im Rishayim, you should learn Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, which are the story of Klal Yisrael. Yecheskel, from Lamed Aleph and on, is also the story of the Bayis Shlishi. It's very, very difficult. But as far as the learning Yeshayah, it's just very, very hard. Yirmiyah is hard. Iyav, now they put out Rosh Chodesh and Iyav, which is very, very good. Rosh Chodesh and Yeshayah is not as... I personally didn't find it as useful. I just find Yeshayah very difficult to learn. So you have to learn it. So I learned it. Maybe I learned it twice. I don't remember. But I find it very hard. The flow of parak to parak is hard. I just find it difficult. Yirmiyah, the second, from Parakhaf and on in Yirmiyah also goes, the first 20 parakim or so are Yeshayah style. From after Parakhaf, it develops more into the blend of sort of Nevi'im Rishayim style and Yirmiyah. So I tell people, start Yirmiyah, start from Chaf Aleph. And once you did so many parakim, you'll push yourself to do the first 20 also. It'll help. But say the Yecheskel. It's interesting, it's 48 parakim. The Gemara says it's half Nechemta and half Paranisa. It's exactly, it's the first 24 chapters of Paranisa. But starting from Chafei to Lamed Gimel, it's Paranisa of Da'ite Chachavim. Interesting parakim to learn. And then there's the Bayis HaShlishi, which the whole... I've told people that the Bayis HaShlishi is not going to be where the Kaisel is. It's going to be a number of miles away. And people look at me like I'm nuts. As Beferish says so in Yecheskel. So I have this grand plan that when Mashiach comes, I'm going to rent buses at the Kaisel. Everyone's going to come there to see the Bayis HaShlishi comes out. And then I'm going to get them to take the bus ride north to where the Bayis HaShlishi is really coming down. The Har Bayis of then is going to be a mile square, which the Har Bayis anyway is not big enough. You work out the Amis, it's roughly a mile square. And I don't know why. I know why it's not known because people don't learn Yecheskel. But Rabbi Yaakov used to say that the Bayis Sheni was built Dafka in the same place as the Bayis Rishon because they wanted to be tell people this is not Mashiach's Beis Hamikdash. It's not the Gula Nitzchi. So he says that's why they spoke Aramaic and that's why they took the non-Jewish names of the months Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, which today we consider Jewish. Non-Jewish origins. He said that's why it was in the Har HaBayis, so everyone should know it's not the final Beis HaMikdash today. I don't think people would realize that it's there, that it's not. But at any rate, Yecheskel, the end of Yecheskel, I find very interesting. And today you have English translations that help you. And when I was a boy, it was the Judaica Press that was out already. But good luck.
The Rosh Yeshiva mentioned before that you went to Rosh Soloveitchik's Yortzeit this year. Why is it that like a lot of Klal Yisrael and even like some Gedolim aren't Machshiv Rosh Soloveitchik as much as a Gadol like some other communities?
A lot of it is political. Klal Yisrael, like all human beings, live lives of certain pride in the group they're in, and they don't learn the Samar Rebbe's. A lot of what Samar Rebbe writes is Yeshivish style Shtiklot Torah, but very few people look at it. I kind of enjoy the Divrei Yael, and parts of it are political, but most of it is Divrei Torah. And Rav Soloveitchik also, he is not well known. Rav Soloveitchik was invited to be Rosh Yeshiva in Torah V'Das actually by Rav Mendelovitz, and whatever reason he chose to go to Rizal Chavan. But that's the way it's always been in Klal Yisrael. There have always been groups in Klal Yisrael, and because the Soloveitchik was affiliated with the modern Orthodoxy, in the so-called Yeshivish world didn't learn his Torah so much. That's the way it was. I don't think anybody doubted his greatness as a Talmud Chacham. And Or the Gedal Yisrael, any of them were friendly with him, were close with him. I think Rav Huttner had an exchange of letters with him. It's just the way it's always going to be. You know, it's a world in which there's a certain amount of clickiness, and you try to rise above it, but it's always going to exist. The person lets it bother him too much, you get sidetracked. It's not a good thing. Politics are a reality, and you have to just try to not be gyrosed and not let it bother you both at the same time. It's the way of the world. Mashiach will come and get everyone together, hopefully.
Is there a difference in the quality of the Talmud Torah of learning about mitzvos d'oraisa versus learning about mitzvos d'rabbanan?
Interesting question. I think not, because the Torah itself gives the license for the Rabbanan to make the siyogim. In the Kiyum, there's a difference. The Kiyum of the Daraisa is different than the Kiyum of the Rabbanan. But as far as the Lima Torah Shabbai, I would think it's all Talmud Torah. I don't think there's one part of Torah which is more than another. It's interesting, Ravad Yosef has a truth. Somebody who was learning Daf Yomi wanted to quit. And he asked if it was a neder. I learned Daf Yomi from him many times. So he said, well, you can only quit and move to a higher level of learning. You can't move down. So provide you right, it's a higher level of learning is to learn halacha. Whatever, they have makaris for it. But there's so much agadita that you can find makaris for a lot of things. So he does write that one level is higher, but it's really hard. It's not the Talmud Torah Shabbai. You know, the Mishnah says Mevatlan Talmud Torah leMikra Megillah. So Rav Pnei Yeshua asks, why do you Mevatlan Torah leMikra Megillah? Mikra Megillah is also Torah. So the answer that's usually given is there's a bitl Torah in Echus, in the quality. If you just read the words, it's one level. And if you mine into it more, it's another level. As far as the subject, Torah Shabbat Sabbath, as far as Teresh and Darabanans, I don't think there's a difference. Yeah.
Besides for like Shnaya Mikra, how much time and how do you like choose what other mefarshim to look at for Chumash when you learn the Chumash? Like when you're in Yeshiva specifically?
It's very challenging. Parshas Yeshua is always challenging. What I did for many years is I took one Sefer and I did it that year. One year I took the Darash Maisha, Ramesh's, and one year I took Berchas Peretz, which is good because it only has one part in every parasha. And one year I took the Meshech Chachma, I tried. One year Rav Schwab Sefer, I just tried to take, to choose one, and I got up Shabbos morning and I did it. Rashi and the Ramban, I mean, are the main Mefarshim. And it's a funny thing. I'm ashamed to say I don't finish the Rashi every week. I started studying the Rashi now from the end of the parasha, because I always start from the beginning. I never got that far, so I started from the end. Now I'm already doing the middle. I did ends, beginnings for a long time, ends for a little while, so now I try to do the middle every week. But a person really should try to finish it. It's a poor excuse that I don't do it. It's a challenge, yeah.
When we're making our way through a mesecta like yeshiva, sometimes there are tosuses that are more and less fundamental to the mesecta. How should we prioritize our time in learning some tosuses?
Everyone's different. You can get different answers depending on who you ask. You asking me? So I always look for that which is yisayid, which is yisayid of a sugya. It's sometimes hard to identify immediately. But when you're learning a sugya, my ability, memory-wise, is very limited. So I try to figure out what the main point of a sugya is, and to try to work on that. And what you work on, you remember. But very often, you can pick up. You're learning a sugya, you can pick up. When the Gemara asks from a side topic, and then Tosis takes you into the other mesechta, it's one thing. And when it's a primary focus, when it's a primary point, it's something else. You know, it's very hard to say. One of the things I like about the Rav Kook Ritvos usually you take out the old style ritva, you look at the ritvas, you don't know which ritva is fundamental, which is not. It's hard, just so many points. With the notes on the bottom, you pick up, you know, he'll say on a ritva, that's not like Taisus, and you'll, you know, so it catches your interest. It's obviously basic, and sometimes they're different in different mesechtas. I remember when I learned mesechtas of like the Zara, the ritva, it's great. He checks through everything where he points out where it's in halacha, where it's not in halacha. You have to try to do that. And again, there's a makam shuli b'chafetz. It's everybody is different. You have a certain, different people have a different level of interest. But I look for the aside. That's my thing.
If one wanted to start learning some nachshava in addition to his regular sitting in bar in halacha yeshiva, is there a particular sefer that the Rosh Yeshiva recommends you start with?
Nachshava. Again, people are different, and it's very hard. Nachshava svarim vary, and the style, different things speak to different people. It's very, very hard. Now, there are Musa svarim, and there are Nachshava svarim. You don't know Nachshava svarim. It's very different to different people. The Maral on Rashi might be a place to start, because the Maral on Chumash on Rashi is a mixture of Machshava and technical points. And the Machshava Svarim, you know, is the Mitzvah Eliyahu, which a lot of people find speaks to them. On the other hand, he goes from topic to topic. What I would recommend, if you want to learn Machshava Svarim, take the Mitzvah Eliyahu. There's an index on Shas. Whatever Masechta you're learning, learn the pieces that are connected there. And it'll speak to you more, and you'll be able to get into the style of the Mitzvah Eliyahu. It's a wonderful Mafteach. And in the Pachad Yitzchaks have a Mafteach on Tanakh, but they have a Mafteach on topics. Again, I've never sat and just learned Pachad Yitzchak straight. Sometimes I did just to relax. But the learning of it, I look in the back, I look on a topic. Sometimes I look for a topic that interests me, and I do it that way. It's the best way to break into Rosh Hashanah.
Is there a particular type of Chazara that works better than others to develop an idea of Torah?
Is there a better
system of Chazara?
It's just kind of Chazar. And Rav Pam once told me, if the Yetzirah can't get you to learn, he'll get you not to Chazar. I was thinking, let me just finish everything, and then it'll all be Chazara. But it doesn't really work that way. And you have to try the Chazar. I don't know. It's a challenge. You have to Chazar as much as you could. In Halacha, the best Chazara for Halacha is once you learn something in Halacha, and a Shaila comes up in real life. So whatever you do, lamaisa, machmer, whatever you do, the best thing is to go and try to look up that which you once learned, and you're not sure what it says. Even if you're sure, to look at it again, I find that's the best type of chazara. I started doing that early on. I recently met someone who was a camper of mine when I was a counselor in camp. And somehow we kept up. He's probably a camper two summers in a row or something. And today's a Rebbe. Today's probably a grandfather already. Because at that stage, the counselor and camper, the age difference is just a couple of years. I asked him what he remembers, if anything, from when he was in my bunk. So it's interesting. He told me he remembers. I used to always carry a little piece of paper in my pocket. When a Shaila came up, I jotted it down. And later, when I had a chance, I looked up the Mishnah Berurah. I looked it up when I did. So it's a good thing to do. I still carry the piece of paper in my pocket. Today, boys don't have pockets, but it's Atzas Yetzirah, I think. I have to have the paper in the pocket. But I still jot down Shailas, and I don't always get to them, but I try to always get to them. It's a way of chazuring halacha. Because otherwise, you're going straight halacha, so it's hard. You can remember the Shaila, but which way it went sometimes is tricky. All right, yeah.
If a person would be in a situation where someone who's speaking is saying Lashkara, and they obviously want to stop it, they don't want to embarrass that person, what's the best way to go about it?
say? When you're masupik, probably embarrassing you won't help. Chavetz Chaim says if you're stuck, you should just be kaveh in your heart not to be makabel what he says. But the only thing that works, I think, is humor. That's what I find. Sometimes somebody's saying something about especially if it's political, what they're saying. So I always tell them, you know, tell me something bad about Yasser Arafat better. Why are you telling me something bad about a Jew? Tell me something bad about Yasser Arafat, not better. I mean, Yasser Arafat is long gone, but whatever the contemporary example would be, you know. Tell me something about about today's politicians. Tell me something about Biden. What are you telling me? So I say it like that so people laugh, so sometimes it works. But as once at a question-answer period, Reb Henoch Leibowitz was answering questions from Mechanchim, and he was asked, what's the single most important media you need to be a Mechanach? So I don't expect him to say Musser, because Chafetz Chaim is all Musser. So he said, the single most important thing you need is a sense of humor. When a kid is chutzpahdik to you, you take it seriously, you're gone. You lost the class. You have to have a sense of humor. When people do things they shouldn't be doing, just don't take it so seriously. When people get offended, it's not to their benefit, it's to their detriment. Take it with a sense of humor. If it works, it works. You try. Yes?
What's the source for, like,
segulos,
and how much
do
we try and...
Segulos? Yeah. We live in a generation that's enamored with segulos. They're, for the most part, ridiculous. I don't know. I think if you Google red string, you get the Hindu red strings. Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes that it's a shiloh of Avodah Zarah. The red strings are everywhere. We live in a time that people want quick fixes for all the problems. And a lot of problems do have quick fixes, but most don't. A school that has a makar is a school. A school that doesn't isn't. I'm blessed with 7 sons. I have a deal with them. I could probably say my son without identifying them. So I have one son whose wife was in labor. She was in labor for about 17, 18 hours. And he called me. He says, they're going to have to do a C-section. Nothing's happening. And finally, I said to him, and this is my schooler son. I said to him, did you get her a kameya for her pregnancy? He says, yes. And I said, go in, take it off. The kameyas are made to hold the baby in. And that you shouldn't miscarry. That's what the kameyas for pregnancy are. I said, go into there and take it off. So he runs it to Rui, takes it off, and sure enough, it started to work an hour later, and she gives birth. So he comes to me, he says, I thought you don't believe in this stuff. I said, I believe in what Chazal say. Chazal say there's such a thing. Now, a lot of kameyas today are phony, but there's such a thing as a kameya. So what they say, I believe. What they don't say, I don't believe. I don't think anybody should do it for exactly the reason that it almost messed up your wife, because you're using Kabbalistic things. You have no clue what they're about. So most of the schoolers today are ridiculous. What people do is they find one schooler that was once used by one Hasidic Rebbe at one time, and they spread the word. They have the Rebbe's name so we could start up with him. But it's not something Klal Yisrael ever heard of. I think this is a thing of reading the Mon, what is it, the Friday before
Tuesday
before, I don't even know. So I once went to Eitzar Chachma and I did a search. And there wasn't a single sefer that brought it. And Eitzar Chachma had 40,000 svarim. Today they have 100,000 minus 40,000. So I don't know, you have to stay away from schoolers. And they're made for people who either lack a sophistication in Torah or lack intelligence. You know, so they have mice and they put up a picture of a rabbi. You know, it's like ridiculous, such a bazillion. You know? Imagine they have mice, they put a picture of a rabbi. It's but, I don't know. So, it's not, the school is on that. You have people that don't know too much Yiddishkeit, that's the Yiddishkeit, let them do it, what are you going to do? They have nothing else. But, yeah.
How seriously should we take halachos that are brought down in the Gemara for a specific metzias that doesn't apply anymore, and also halachos that are brought for like mezikin, shadim, and shafan?
So there are different parts of Klal Yisrael. Our Kabbalah is that all the mezikim, shadim things are not negayah today. It's given over b'shem hagra. One of the places it's brought is Roshua brings it, but I don't think it's written by the gra. That in the Meshech of the Golos, when Yidna Maisa Nefesh, it's Machlish to Kreiches HaToma. Supposedly he said that when Avraham and Avraham, the Geret Tzedek was Maisa Nefesh, it was Machlish, the Tumas Yadayim, on people's hands. How the Gra knew these things, I don't know. But Roshua brings it overall. We don't see Dibbiks, we don't see any of these things. So things that are brought in Lahalacha, we do Lahalacha. It was a chayrim in the time of the Marshal to use any of the refuas, any of the school of Dikur refuas in the Gemara. It's interesting, Rabbi Kivega brings not to do any of the school of refuas in Gemara except for one. I was learning at my Shabbos table, and the one is that if a person gets a fishbone stuck in his head, stuck in his throat, rather. So you put some fish on the person's forehead and you say certain words. Someone said, wow, I was by Rebelski, I was eating by him, and I got a fishbone stuck in my head. It was stuck in my throat again, not in my head, stuck in my throat. And he quickly mished some, put some fish against my forehead, and he said this. I said, did it work? He said, I was so startled, I just... So I don't know about that one, but, you know, bala, bala, nachas, nachas, there's a whole nusach. But generally, we stay away from them. The metzias and inshas, we don't understand. We just go past. The truth is that there are a lot of things in Chazal that show a superior knowledge of the sciences. Even the idea that Chazal said cooking in the sun, Bishul B'chama, you're allowed to cook L'chatchila in the sun on Shabbos. That's not Bishul B'esh. I think human beings until the 20th century assumed the sun is fire. It's only today is understanding of the sun as being... a series of nuclear explosions. There's no fire, there's no oxygen there. It can't be fire. Had a Chazal know that Bishul B'chama is not cooking in the sun. It had to come from somewhere. Or that Avraham Avinu was told that the stars, that your children be as many, multiply the stars in the sky. Until Galileo and the telescope, nobody could see more than 1,500 stars in the sky at any one time. And yet the Torah calls the stars of the sky as like the sand of the earth. So today we know that there are far more stars. So there are things in science which are on the contrary, are sort of proven by, proven that there was some information that the Chazal had. And there are multiple places where this appears. I have... in Stern College, there's a Dr. Harvey Bathage, a professor of biology. He davens by me. He doesn't have a strong Gemara background. So he decides he's learning Daf Yomi. He goes to the Daf Yomi Shir. Anything to do with science, he works on. We have in Shul, I think it's a 16-page pamphlet. Each page has either one or two topics. In Chazal, that he has science articles about. And one of them is a snake being pregnant for 7 years. Which Salifkin made fun of. He has articles about, it's interesting, about a snake that was in captivity and became pregnant, and it says the number 7 years. The snakes have the ability to preserve the sperm in their body. Not technically pregnant for 7 years, but they can give birth 7 years after mating. And he has articles on it. He has an article on the person, people giving birth after 12 months, which Chazal say you could go up to 12 months of giving birth. He has the Gemara tells that Yehuda and Chizkiyahi, they were twins that were born 3 months apart, which seems impossible. A woman goes into labor, she goes into labor. So he also has articles. There's a condition where women have a split uterus and they can give birth 3 months apart. He has an article about a woman, it's a newspaper article. About a woman who gave birth and had no idea she was still pregnant, and gave birth again a couple of months later. So there are plenty of Chazals that seem they can make no sense, and they've been, I call it validated, I don't know, by and then there's some which you can't imagine them being validated, so I don't know. It's generally you move forward. There's a professor who wrote an article on astronomy, which is just me. He wrote about the Maylid. He has Chazal's Maylid, average Maylid, and the average Maylid of NASA. And to the fifth decimal point, they're identical. And the fifth decimal point, he said to me, Chazal, within two, whatever it is of the Maylid. I said, no, NASA within two. But anyway, there are things that can give you a lot of chizuk, and there are things that not. You just move on. A lot of Chazal, you should learn in the Hakdama Tein Yaakov. Did you ever see the Hakdama Tein Yaakov? They published the Ramchal's Hakdama to Agadatas and the Shlo's Hakdama. They have more than that. But they write about the Agadat Gemaras that when Rabbeinu HaKadosh came to write Shas, he knew it would be forgotten. He had to write it down. He didn't know what to do a Kabbalah. If I write it down, it's not for everybody. I don't write it down, it'll be forgotten. So he hid a lot of the Kabbalistic ideas in the Gemaras. And he says that's a lot of the Agadat Gemaras. So some of them are very hard. Some of them, you know, the bird who dropped an egg and destroyed 60 towns, which is a very strange Gemara, Bava Basra. So today everyone starts thinking about atomic bombs, right? What a Chazal mean? You know, I don't know. All right. So, yeah.
Sometimes you might find...
Sometimes
there might be a machlokas in terms of how the Kabbalah will unfold. So anyways, is there such thing as pasuk in which Mahalik is correct, and if that would actually impact which way the Kabbalah will unfold?
The Rambam says... It's not an ikra to understand anything about the gula. Ayin le'ras elakim l'sulasecha. There are basic machlokes about the gula, and obviously it seems it's hard to say elu ve'elu divrei kam chayim on these things. But the agadilim who tried to make shalom between there's a radvaz that made shalom between the two tchias ha'meisims, and Imar Futner has a piece on the Rambam and the Ramban about whether the Olam HaNitzchi is with the Guf or without the Guf, all these things. It's Baruch Hashem, we don't have to paskin, and by the time it'll be Lamais Eliyahu will be here. So it's very hard to it's tiring, both my halacha and
Torah. How should we be CPs of Yeshua?
It's very difficult. I at the beginning of 3 weeks, I spoke about it here, about the boys being Tzibis Yeshua. I suggested you take one line in davening and take that moment to be Mitzavah Yeshua. It's Baruch Hashem. You know, when people lived in and they were oppressed and they were running away, like Leino from Goyim, they were all Mitzavah Yeshua, and we have Baruch Hashem comfortable lives and. The best experience of Golas so far, and it's hard. I've mentioned in numerous settings that I was once by Rebbe Yashiv. I used to go to Rebbe Yashiv's Gemara Shia on Friday afternoon, on Shabbos afternoon, when I was in Eretz Yisrael. I go to Eretz Yisrael usually two Shabbos a year. And he finished about a Masechta, yes. I heard Shir on about one daf of each Masechta from Rebbe Yashiv. Also, you would think there were a million people there. There were a handful of people who used to go to this shiur. So they gave me the covet of sitting next to him. And I sat next to him also by Minchan Shabbos. And for years, for 20 years, I did this. And when he got older, he became a little hard of hearing. And for whatever his halachic reason was, he started davening Shemoneh Esrei a little louder. So I was standing next to him, davening Shemoneh Esrei, and trying to concentrate and listening to him more than to myself, like it's very hard to concentrate. So I figured I'll daven with him, mila b'mila, I'll daven along with him, so I could listen and daven at the same time. So what I noticed is that when he got to he davened, Rabbi Yashav, everyone knew it is the time, he davened very quick Shemayna Esri. He once said you should daven the way you talk to a person. You don't talk to a person slowly, you talk like I'm talking to you. You're talking to God. So that was his davening. I noticed by Hamazish Kinasi Letzion, he stopped and said it very slowly and deliberately. Hamazish Kinasi Letzion. I noticed it multiple times. And I decided that that was my Kabbalah for that year. To have Kabbalah, to make have Kabbalah in the whole Shemayna Esrei is very hard. It's easy to make the Kabbalah, but hard to stick with it. But three words I figured I could do. Usually you wake up, I might them anyway, bowing down. So since then, it's a number of years, I still tell Adayim, I try. But I'm Adayim Shanasi Letzi, and I try to be Mekayim, it's Yipisul Yeshua. If I'm Adayim Shanasi Letzi, I hope it's good. Recently I started, when I step out of Shemayna Esrei, I don't know if it happens to you, but sometimes when I step out, like I wake up, like I finished Shemayna Esrei already. So I step out of Shemayna Esrei, I figured, let me at least have Kavanah Mehi Ratzai. So the words, Shiyabana Beis Amish, Meir Yameinu, I say it out loud. I'm not going to scream it, but I say it louder, and I have a mind to be a Metzapel Yeshua then also. So those are my two, three words, and another five or six words, and you should be more Metzapel Yeshua, but that's my effort in those two places. So Abba Yashin did it many years ago, and I've sent it over to my class, it's over in camp, it's over in shul. From his doing it then, I think a lot of people tried to pick up.
I just want to thank the Rosh Yeshiva for his time, and we've taken up a lot of it.
I've used up all my wisdom, so it's just
thank you.
It's so nice that you all came, and it's just a wonderful experience being taking the time, being Kulei Taira, and you just have to never let go of your desire to be that way. I had a shver, a father-in-law who was a rabbi and then a businessman. When he retired, he started learning all day. I asked him, how are you able to learn all day? Most people retire, they do an hour and they fall asleep. See, it's interesting. He told me, when I left yeshiva to had to go to work, I never stopped being eager to go back to when I'm going to learn a whole day. And I hope you always can learn all day, but just remember the sweetness of it. That's all. Okay, thank you for visiting.
Take a picture.